This is Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad with part one of our winter book series. Today's book was featured in a virtual discussion last month with WNIJ listeners. It's Snake Woman of Little Egypt by Robert Halenga. Dr. Halenga is a distinguished writer in residence at Knox College, and he joins us now. Welcome.
Very nice to be here.
The snake woman in the title is Sunny, a woman just released from prison after attempting to kill her husband, a snake-handling preacher. And what's unusual about this story is Sunny gets to tell her story in first person, while all the other characters are portrayed in third person. Why did you allow Sunny, the protagonist, to be the only one to speak directly to the reader?
Well, I guess I've had good luck with first-person female narrators in the past. And I read an awful lot of snake-handling literature and autobiographical oral histories, and I kind of got that voice in my head. I just had a feeling of that kind of sassy voice.
And because she's the protagonist, speaking in first person, we are led to trust her right away. And I don't want to give too much away in the book, but at some point, there is a question about whether she's being truthful with the reader, isn't there?
Well, what did you have in mind there?
Okay, well, when her then-husband, Earl, sticks her hand in a tank full of snakes, and then that's when she decides that she has to kill him. At some point in the novel, there is a question mark. Did things happen exactly that way?
That's a good point, because I just reread the novel, and what you mentioned occurred to me. When I was telling this story, my intention was that Sunny's version was correct. And partly that's because I was inspired by a book called Salvation on Sand Mountain. And that recounted a snake-handling preacher who forced his wife to put her hands in a box of rattlesnakes. So I got that detail. Now, he wound up going to prison. But my version comes out differently. But he did tell that alternate story, which was pretty implausible, that she had gotten the snake out of the snake shed and was trying to get it to bite him.
This is Earl's tale.
This is Earl's version of the story. And then that comes up again in Snake Woman more than once. And so you start to wonder, maybe Earl was telling the truth. But I don't think at the end you could think that, because the question is, if she had brought a snake in, what happened to the snake?
And this comes up in a trial.
So that comes up later. And so then I think you really have to think that Sonny's telling the truth.
Okay, all right. Snake handling is the central theme around which this entire book revolves. How did you research this religious subculture?
I first heard an interview on NPR I forget his name now. The book was called The United States of Appalachia. And then we heard that can't think of his name. Lived in Macomb. And he was giving a reading. So I went to Macomb, and he sort of gave me permission to use this. And then I spent a lot of money on books on snake handling, and the most valuable ones were oral histories. So you could hear these people talking about, you know, I went into the box and got a handful of copperheads, and they called them serpents. And how they were eager, you know, when they were growing up, age of 12, they'd be allowed to go and start handling the snakes, kind of like at 16 you'd get your driver's license. So there's a lot of information available.
By the way, the author of The United States of Appalachia is Jeff Biggers. Did you do any snake handling as part of your research?
No, and I wasn't too eager to do it, and I didn't really have any opportunities, so
I had to ask.
I don't know. I can understand the charge you would get out of holding a snake like that. They do other things, like drinking strychnine.
And for people who worship in this way, if you're right with the Lord, you will not get bitten or die from strychnine poisoning or whatever trial you're putting yourself through. But if you're not right with the Lord, you get bitten.
That's true. The basis of that is Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, which says, you shall handle poisonous serpents and they won't harm you. You shall drink poison and it won't harm you. A lot of these churches were called with signs following, and the signs were drinking poison, handling snakes, healing the sick, raising the dead, and I can never remember them all. There's another one.
Well, the church that Earl and initially Sonny belongs to is the Church of the Burning Bush, with signs following. I want to return to an earlier question I had about Sonny's trustworthiness as a narrator. This reminds me of how sometimes a reader can infer something the author didn't intend. Here's Sonny, a very sympathetic protagonist, but just having that little grain of doubt adds a level of complexity to the story that just makes it much more.
I like that idea. So, if I were going to redo it, I wouldn't eliminate that. It just wasn't what I had in mind. But, you know, anytime someone lies in a novel, that's good. I mean, that makes things more interesting.
Robert Hlinga is the author of Snake Woman of Little Egypt. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At WNIJ.org, you can hear Dr. Hlinga read an excerpt from his novel. Next Monday, Francesca Abate discusses her poetry collection, Troy Unincorporated. I'm Dan Klefstad, WNIJ News.